Welcome to Exploring Video Games, episode 108. I'm Anna Case, and today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is a podcast where I talk about cleaning, art, and systems. So welcome. So I'm going to talk about cleaning first. I run into a lot of spiders in my line of work as a house cleaner. And spiders are interesting. They definitely feel alien and strange. They're one of those creatures that seems unique. Some people will tell you not to kill the spiders. They'll go out of their way to tell you to leave the spiders, which is nice. I wonder how much of that is because the spiders kill bugs and how much of that is kind of superstition based. On Project Cheney, which is one of my favorite podcasts, she talks about how she thinks some superstitions, or even a lot of superstitions, perhaps even the act itself, is just a way for people to remember to do smart things. Because, like, otherwise, without, like, a weird little magical story around it, people just, like, won't remember that, like, oh, it's good to have spiders in your house because they kill the bugs. And also, something that's so impressive about spiders is if you're in their area, if you just start cleaning around the spider, that spider is so smart and it'll get out of your way. At this point, I feel like a mutual, there's like some sort of mutual respect or mutual understanding. If you just start cleaning around them, you don't need to worry about them. They will go away. They will make themselves scarce. Even if you kind of accidentally hurt them and you kind of shake them off, they'll like find a way to just get out of there. Maybe other bugs do that, but and I am mostly dealing with house spiders, little kind of benign house spiders. I also wanted to talk about how cleaning has changed my life. And I think this probably, I got a cat on my lap, so I'm pretty sure you can hear her purring. I think this probably applies to everybody's work, how it just completely changes the way you see things. It's completely, it's a real huge priority in terms of my material wants and even my aesthetic wants. In terms of, like, when I dream of a house, I can just immediately see if something is hard to clean or not worth it to own. For example, my parents have this beautiful lamp, but it just, it's hard to clean, and it's the sort of thing where it's going to be totally dusty all the time, unless you, like, take literally, like, 5+ minutes once a week to clean that lamp. And I'm absolutely unwilling to do that for, no matter how beautiful the lamp. Stainless steel. If I had my way, I would never own anything that's made out of stainless steel. I am always curious about what, there's such a trend of stainless steel, in the recent past for kitchen stuff. And I would imagine that is because somewhere down the manufacturing line, stainless steel became very cheap. And there was a huge push to sell things made out of stainless steel. But the second you touch it, it's covered in your fingerprints and it's so dirty. And I hate stainless steel so much. Yeah, when I was a lot younger, I remember a lot of kitchen stuff was kind of like white. Like that was kind of the trend when I was growing up, where it's just like plastic and white. And even something white is so much more forgiving of a mess. The kitchen is for making a mess. Also, cleaning. I really like to draw. That's something I do a lot. And the kind of things that I ultimately have kind of gotten into drawing are just orderly, beautiful rooms. That's my favorite thing to draw. And it didn't occur to me until like pretty much in the last year that that's my job, is to create orderly, pretty rooms. That's what I'm there for. And I think that probably, I think me being a house cleaner probably comes out of some, the root of that, as well as the drawings, rather than the cleaning causing that. But I don't know, something interesting. That's something I'd be interested to talk to people about, how they're, like, I know artists, and I look at what they do for a living, and it's always, it always seems so informed by that. Very interesting. A couple weeks ago, I did a Hireside Chats meetup in Philadelphia. It went well. There were not many people there. It was a little chilly, and we didn't swap any seeds or any starts, even though we brought some. But I still think that's a massive success. I got to talk to a couple people come up and ask, what is the Hireside Chats? And you have to be like, well, it's a conspiracy podcast. And then they'll say, do you believe in conspiracies? And we'll say, yeah, I do, but it's just a nice podcast. And no one was aggressive about it, but yeah, that was super fun. I just took a trip down south, and we actually met up with a couple people who I met at a previous Hireside Chats meetup. It was really fun. Fast food in the South is a different game than in Philadelphia. It is so much better. A lot of the lower tier fast food in the North, to me, is not even worth going to. And maybe that's me being fancy. But nevertheless, you can get like a 10 out of 10 meal for like $9 at Bojangles and Biscuitville. Man, I was really impressed. I guess speaking of conspiracy, something that I've been dealing with in Philadelphia is our internet. It has been very strange and very slow, and it's happened to our neighbors as well. And I'm no tech person, but I definitely think it's either being, well, it's probably financial, right? A lot of things I think probably come down to stealing bandwidth from us. in order to cut costs or something. But if I were a major communication company, I would be taking notes. I would definitely treat it as a test. Because we've had many days, and increasingly so, where we can't really use the internet all day. And I think it's a company thing, because every once in a while we'll have one of those days and I'll like go to the bank and like the bank system is down too. Yeah, I'm sure it's just they're cheaping out and somehow shaving cents, shaving pennies off. It would be foolish not to be testing how that affects people. I've been reading the William Cooper book, Behold a Pale Horse, and the book starts off with silent weapons for quiet wars, or it might be the other way around. It might be quiet weapons for silent wars. Definitely look that up if you haven't read that. That is one of the coolest little pieces of writing. I had read it before, and I'll read it again. It's a real quick read. It's fantastic. In that little piece, it talks about shock testing, basically turning people into the general populace, turning them into a set of data, where you do tests to see how you can steal their money and their energy. Steal is probably even a strong word, just how you can take it. The internet thing, to me it feels like such a test. I'm sure it's probably a little bit of everything though. Another cat in the background. I watched Pet Cemetery, which I talked about in the last episode, reading that book. It was a great movie. Very kind of broad and comforting. It seemed like more of a children's movie. And it was made in the late 80s. So I found it to be very comforting and hypnotizing. I wish I knew where this fact came from. It might have come from the Perfume Nationalist, or it might have come from Agitator. Those are two of my favorite podcasts, but I think one of them had talked about how all you need for a movie is good sound design. And I think about that a lot. I think that's totally true. I always really respond to like water noises in movies. In this Pet Cemetery, there's an actor called Fred Gwynn, who has just a great voice. I thought the movie was better paced maybe than the book. Cool cameo by Stephen King in there. I definitely think he's, I don't know if this is something I want to talk about or, belabor on this podcast, but I'm always, sensitive to people's, plastic surgery and cosmetic procedures, and, Stephen King definitely has had a nose job, right? Like his, I would think he has. And it definitely looked like he had a lot of Botox around his mouth. But I know he was also like a notorious like cocaine enthusiast. And I always wonder how that ties into plastic surgery. I don't know too much. I know cocaine really ruins your nose. something else I've been thinking about a lot is easiness. In the book Transurfing Reality by Vadim Zeeland, which I learned about from Blue Collar Mystics, he talks about, Vadim Zeeland talks about how you should make your life as easy as you possibly can. And it sounds obvious when you say it, but that is such a great way to look at things. And I definitely come at life from a perspective that pretty much everyone is primarily self-interested, and everyone's just trying to make things easier for themselves all the time, and you should. And that's reading Transurfing Reality is it's such a, it describes reality in such a in such an easy way. It's so cool. I've also been reading a lot of Joel Salatin books. He's a farmer who writes books about farming. And I was just reading how he's basically saying the same thing. Like, make life as easy for yourself as you can. Try to stack functions as much as you can. Have the animals, make the animals do the work, because you can, the animals will till the soil and fertilize the soil and just, like, let, you know, let them do as much of the work as you can. Let's see. I also wanted to talk about intuition. Intuition is so important to get in touch with. And that's another thing that sounds so obvious. But I really think that pretty much the purpose, maybe not the purpose, a huge aspect of education, especially higher education, in my experience as an American, is to retard your intuition and to make you distrust yourself, and therefore look to others to tell you what is true. Look to experts to tell you what is true. And I definitely was raised in a place in a family that valued higher education a lot, and I was in higher education. I went to college, and I was really, until pretty recently, I had completely, ceased to develop my intuition, and letting it thrive again, and even learning to place an importance on it has been so important in my current life. And it's, I think that's basically the midwit phenomena, like working class. Many people have said this. But working class people pretty much know what's real. And I don't know if I hate to say it, but like the elites, you know, the people who run everything, they pretty much know what's real, in my opinion. And everyone in the middle seems to be kind of deluded, and I realize that's a negative. That's pretty negative. Usually people are nice. By and large, everyone's pretty nice once you get to talking with them in real life. But yeah, intuition is great, is what I'm saying. I've been reading Libra by Don DeLillo. It's great. I really like Don DeLillo. I was thinking about it this week. I think a lot of writers that I like. Libra is about the JFK assassination. It's basically about spycraft and statecraft surrounding that assassination. I always get the sense that writers are writing, the art of writing lends itself to like spying, and I always feel like I guess it's like the art of deception to me, like James Joyce and Don DeLillo. And there are others, but those are the ones that are coming to mind. To me, it just, whether or not they're spies that were formally trained in spying, I think they are. That's just the sense I get. Thomas Pynchon. On Program to Chill, the host, Jimmy Fallon Gong, talks about Twilight language a lot, and I don't exactly know the definition of it, but it's basically talking in code. And I always get like, man, if you read the names by Don DeLillo or like anything by James Joyce, it's all talking in code and talking around things, and you get the sense that it's too specific. It's certainly too specific to be out of thin air. Recently came up in my life why kind of college-educated college people who love Thomas Pynchon, which they do. And I love Thomas Pynchon as well. And the type of person who thinks conspiracy theories are despicable, right-wing, Nazi, dangerous ideas will love Thomas Pynchon. And that's interesting to me. And I feel like I get it. I feel like I totally get it. Because Thomas Pynchon is funny and clever. But that funniness and that cleverness is talking about real things. And if he were just being funny and clever out of nowhere, it wouldn't be as internally consistent as it is. I don't know if I'm expressing what I want to, but yeah, all of Thomas Pynchon's books are about like vertical integration, and compartmentalization of hierarchy and systems. And they're all about conspiracies. That's just so interesting that the demographic of people who like Thomas Pynchon, I guess they just think he's joking. Which he totally is. It's just interesting. Gravity's Rainbow, to me, is such, like, you understand the basic concept of compartmentalization, but reading that book taught me about it in such a different way, where I feel like I understand it differently and more intimately than I would by knowing the definition of compartmentalization, which I did. Fiction teaches you so much. And again, and the same thing with vertical integration, which I might be getting that phrasing wrong, but that my understanding of that is the people that sell heroin are in business with the people that that fight crime, are in business with the people that run halfway houses, are in business with the people that like the psychiatric industry. It's all maybe it's not the same thing, but they all have to do business with one another. And it kind of becomes one organism that aims to sell heroin. I think of specifically Inherent Vice as such a good That story is such a good example of that. Oh man, and what a great movie. Did some gardening. I've been doing some gardening. I finished reading the Bible, Revised Standard Version. That was a crazy read. The Old Testament, I actually preferred the Old Testament. It was very, very confusing. And it was completely, it takes you on a journey, like a sensual journey, like a journey of the senses, because you're just reading at different parts in the Old Testament. It'll just be like you're reading names of people for like 3 hours, or like you're reading the specifications of a temple for hours, and you're reading it over days. You're just going back to read names and names and names, or figures and figures and figures, for just like days of your life, and it like turns into this crazy trip, and this crazy meditation that feels very like a religious journey of itself, like outside of even the one that the experience of reading it is insane. I definitely recommend it. And then the New Testament was so interesting. Oh, it was a great read. But yeah, I was definitely thinking like how much other aspects of culture I understand a lot better having read the Bible. Well, that is all I have to say. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye.